Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Matt Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Matt Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D Factor. The Matt Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Matt. I've got the power! Hey!
Let's do a live radio broadcast. Good afternoon, everybody, and I mean everybody, everywhere. Hi gang, I'm Mac Newton, and welcome to the Power Hour, the show that sets you free. The show that says yes to all the things you've ever wanted to accomplish. We're listening to one of my favorite smooth jazz artist, the late Art Porter, a native of Little Rock, Arkansas. We'll tell you a little bit about him as the show goes on. A great saxophonist that we lost a few years ago, but the music lingers on, and I like to feature this particular CD frequently because it's very smooth. Demonstrates his talent at a very high level, and encourage you to add his CD, Art Porter, to your musical collection. The name of the CD is Lay Your Hands on Me, and the last one he made before his passing. Welcome to the show, gang. We have a great show on tap for you guys today. I'm pumped about it. I hope you are too. Well, officially now in Phoenix, Arizona, summer is over, Zach. Yeah, summertime is over, you know, and and it is today officially 2 degrees below the Newton line. The Newton line is 80 degrees. It's 2 degrees below that. It's a high today of about 78, and I think we hit it. Maybe we went a little over it. I'm not sure, but partly sunny out, but anyway, a great day in Phoenix, Arizona, okay? And certainly, I feel fortunate to be able to talk to you guys wherever you might be in the world. As usual, we want to say hello to the magic man behind the glass. That would be Zach Geist making the show happen. And by the way, I want to make it clear that the technical difficulties we suffered last week was not the responsibility of the magic man. That simply had to do with logistics and things that just couldn't work. I had to be somewhere else at the same time. So throw that one on me, okay? But we're back in the house right now. We're missing the fabulous Natasha. I know. We're all bummed out. We're all bummed out, but she's okay. She's okay. She had something else that she had to do today. But she stopped by the studio just a few minutes ago, right, Zach? She was here in all of her glory and her beauty, you know, gracing us, and wanted me to say hello to all of her fans along with the rest of you guys. And she wishes she could be here with you today. All right. On tap for today, we got an interesting early rant. I just haven't settled on it yet. I don't know what it's going to be. But I'm definitely going to talk about, in my short segment, Newton's 7 Laws of Self-Defense. And on part number 5, in answering the question, do you have a guilty personality? But first, as usual, we have to give our shout-outs, starting out with Pam and Pele. We call them our singing group from Holland. Andy in Spain, who always gives us an update, and I think we've got this one around here somewhere. From Andy. Here we go. Here's his update from Barcelona. He's in Barcelona. Weather better than in San Sebastian. He always gives it to me in Celsius. 23 degrees Celsius, but it doesn't matter, Zach. You know why? Because I have a built-in Celsius, you know, Fahrenheit, you know, right there in the brain. 23 degrees Celsius is 73.4 degrees Fahrenheit. And Zach will tell you, I'm figuring it out right now. Okay, see there, Mrs. Dent, you failed me in math. You'd be shocked if I could do this right now, if you knew that I could do that. All right, and he says it's sunny every day in Barcelona. Have you ever been to Barcelona, Zach? Oh, I tell you what, it's got to put it on your list of things to do. Put it on your bucket list, okay? He says the temperatures are dropping, and by the end of October, they're going to be down to 17 degrees Celsius, and that's about 63 degrees, 62.6. And he likes the warm weather. Don't we all, Andy? Don't we all? Okay. We're listening to one of my favorite artists, and that would be Art Porter. In fact, Art was taught to play the saxophone by his father, Art Porter Sr. But he was in addition, he was his father was also a very, very talented pianist as well. And his father was a pianist for the late great jazz singer Carmen McRae. So I mean, he comes. Have you ever noticed, Zach, that so many of our musical guest hosts come from musical families? Exactly. But musical family, you gotta get your kids playing that instrument, and whether they become a professional or not doesn't matter. It'll give them something that they'll be able to do forever. No one will ever take away from them. So anyway, Art Porter falls right into that category. Okay, more shout-outs for me. Andy in Spain. Oh, yeah, he's got more on his social. Oh, he gave us a really good report this week. Oh, he gave it to us in detail. He's talking to us about the language that they speak in. Now, Spanish is, I guess, the fundamental language, the primary language, but there's one called Catalan. Catalan is, it's recognized also as a primary language is spoken by about 12 million people in that region. So you can't say it's a fly-by-night, but it's an official language of that area. And the people of Barcelona are very proud of that language and culture. And all the street signs, according to Andy, have to be in Catalan. And the classes in school are also taught in Catalan as well. So there you go. All right. Appreciate the updates, and according to, we have also a shout out going to Veronica G in the Philippines, and a message for you. Hey, Veronica G in the Philippines, it's a new day, it's a new day. Yes, weather there continues to be the same, gang, about low 80s and overcast. I guess they're in the monsoon, I'm not sure. Answer that question for us there, Veronica G. Is it the monsoon season? And so we can let all my listeners know. Al in South FLA, shout out going your way, along with Hula Girl here in the Valley. Peter and the Bebzilla, welcome back. So good to have you back in the house. And DZ, you know who you are, up in Michigan. Okay, there you have it, all our shout outs going out today, Wednesday, October. Oh, this month is just flying by. I can't believe this is the 20th of the month already. This is October 20th. It's October 20th. It's going absolutely berserk. You know, I wanted to give you guys a little bit of a heads up on our next topic that we're going to be starting next week or the week after. So normally this one is when I would have my early rant, but I'm not going to rant today. What I'm going to do is give you a little bit of an update or a preview on what's coming. I'm going to be talking about goals, goal setting. And I actually wrote about this yesterday. I blogged on it on my Facebook page. And it was really something. This lady sent me a comment, and she said, I hate it when you are just previewing my life, when you are talking in your blogs about my life. This is someone I've never met, obviously, but that happens. I said, a lack of goals frequently leads to loneliness. Yeah, Zach's got a surprised look on his face. Yeah, it's loneliness. I mean, we're all lonely, you know, from time to time. But what I'm referring to is that extreme feeling of disconnect. I mean, a feeling of being separated from other people. Separated from yourself. Separated from life. A lack of personal goals is living life without a purpose. I mean, maybe you're helping others fulfill their goals, but that doesn't count. In fact, living your life just to fulfill other people's goals only makes you feel more estranged from life. It's very sad. And only you can change this by setting goals. I've used the term before, success mechanism. Do you remember that, Zach? The success mechanism. So if there's a success mechanism, it stands to reason that there is a failure mechanism. It's fairly easy. You press on your success mechanism of life by setting goals. Once you set a goal, doesn't matter what the goal is, as long as it's your goal, not a goal that you got from a magazine or from your parents or a friend or something you think might be neat, but no, your goal. If it's truly, it represents a desire that you have, as soon as you set it and you set a date for its accomplishment, you are pressing on a success mechanism. That's what it takes to activate that. As far as the failure mechanism is concerned, you don't have to do anything to activate it. As soon as you stop pressing on the success mechanism, the failure mechanism activates automatically. Wow. The failure mechanism. It's kind of incredible. It's kind of incredible. I ran across something that I had done a long, long time ago, talking about failure and the failure mechanism. I got a sneeze coming up. Here it is. Got you. Okay. Sorry about that. It's a long, long time ago. Let's write out the word failure. F-A-I-L-U-R-E. Failure. Now, we know how we activate the failure mechanism, right? By as soon as we stop pressing on the success mechanism, and we press on the success mechanism by setting goals. We're going to keep coming back to that. Setting goals, you're activating success. As soon as you stop, without anything other, any other behavior from you, the failure mechanism automatically activates. You automatically begin to fail. Okay, now, failure, F-A-I-L-U-R-E, F. F stands for frustration. Yeah, that it's a major cause, a major symptom of failure, a frustrated individual. I mean, when an individual finds himself caught up in a pattern of repeated frustrations. In other words, you're not getting what you want out of life. You're not getting what you feel you deserve. You're not getting what you feel you need. You're not getting what you feel you could have. You know, you should ask yourself why. Why? I mean, what are you doing? I mean, why are you not getting these things? Well, this frustration is caused by a lack of goals. See, goal setting allows you to control the direction of change. It allows you to go in a direction of general improvement. You are setting goals as making your life better all the time. And when your life just kind of revolves in a circle, or as one of my clients said to me this morning, when you don't set goals, you're like a boat on an ocean with no rudder, no sail, and you're just bouncing off of things that are out there. And sooner or later, I don't care how good the boat is, it's going to end up a derelict, a wreck on a beach someplace. with a very frustrated captain. So when you're not setting goals, you activate the failure mechanism, and that F stands for frustration. So if you're frustrated, most likely you don't have short, intermediate, and long-term goals for yourself. And you're frustrated because your life represents a lack of progress, a lack of fulfilling possibilities. Okay. F-A. F-A-I-L. F-A. We talked about frustrations. You know what frustrations lead to, Zach? What it leads to is what I call aggressiveness that is usually misguided. So the A is aggressiveness. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with aggressiveness properly directed. It's directing our aggressiveness toward our goals that we set. Putting it into our effort and our focusing it on the things we want out of life, being aggressive. But when we misdirect it, it's a surefire symptom of failure. Now what happens, the type of aggression that you see when a person is frustrated, it's like watching, see if you can relate to this, Zach, it's like watching fireworks go off. You know, when it's shot up in the air and all of a sudden, poof, just shoots out in all directions. That's the kind of random misguided aggression you get when you're frustrated from a lack of goals. You're being aggressive and it's going out in all different directions. And you don't even know why. You're upset at that. You're being aggressive toward that. And the people close to you are, why are you treating me this way? All this misguided, inappropriate aggression caused by a lack of goals. Inappropriate aggression. Wow. F-A-I. Insecurity. Insecurity. It is now 15 minutes past the hour. My name is Mac Newton, and this is the Power Hour. It's a very unpleasant feeling, insecurity. And it's basically, it's a feeling that's based on a feeling of internal inadequacy. When you feel that you don't meet your challenges properly, and you also feel that future challenges will not be met. Wow, what did I just say? I didn't even know I was going to say that. That's what that insecurity is. That's one of the best descriptions I've come up with. Insecure, that you're not meeting your challenges appropriately now. And also there is a knowledge inside of you that challenges in the future will not be met as well. How do you feel with that? Insecure. How can you feel secure when you know that the challenges you're facing today you're not meeting, and you know that the challenges you're going to meet tomorrow will also not be fulfilled? Here's something I've frequently felt. A person who is insecure frequently could be quite competent, because I've spent a great deal of my adult life being insecure. But at the same time, I had the potential to be very effective, quite competent. But when you're living with so many unfulfilled expectations of life, that when you look at how you've come up pathetically short of all of your possibilities, of all of your potential, just results in a feeling of insecurity. You think, this is it and it's not going to get any better. F, frustration. A, aggressiveness, especially that is misguided and random, inappropriate. I, insecure. L, well, I mentioned that already when I told you what I blogged on yesterday. Loneliness. Loneliness. F-A-I-L. U, you. Uncertainty. Oh, yeah. When you're not setting goals, you have... Remember I said? Goal setting allows you to control the direction of change. Goal setting gives you a certainty, a feeling of confidence. You know where it's going. You're the fortune teller of your own future when you set goals. When you don't set them and your foot comes off of the success mechanism and the failure mechanism automatically activates, how can you be certain where your life is going to go? You have now gone to the fair and gotten on the bumper car ride, and you're going to be bouncing off one direction or the other depending on what's happening to you. Uncertainty. Wow. This is a failure type symptom if I've ever seen one. And you know what the main characterization of it is? When you're uncertain, well, just that, you're indecisive. You're unable to make a decision. Sometimes you can't make a decision about anything. The best way that decisions are made, as we've discussed before, Zach, is that 85% of all decisions have to be made immediately. But sometimes, some decisions, you don't have enough information to make the decision now. You don't feel comfortable making it right now. So what you do is you make a decision to make it at a later date. I'm going to make this decision Friday at 1. I'll have it made by then. I don't have enough of information to make right now, but I'm going to make it by Friday. I'm going to make it Monday morning at 9. So I'm still being indecisive about the things I'm not making a decision on. You see, and making your decisions fast and quickly doesn't mean they're always going to be right. But by making them quickly, you're making them the right way. Decisiveness is a key characteristic of leadership and a visionary. Indecisiveness just leads to uncertainty. And the longer you remain uncertain, the more vague the subject you're trying to make the decision about becomes to you. The more what ifs pop up in your mind, and the more you habitually become uncertain and indecisive. The uncertain person, in my opinion, cannot live fully because they're afraid to take the plunge. You know, and if they finally do make up their mind, the decision is going to be subject to distortions because it's taken too long to make. You've taken so long to make it that you're not even sure again about what is this distorted. And usually the outcome is going to confirm your choice to be indecisive because it's probably going to not work, which then confirms your choice to be indecisive. See, the thing is, most indecisive people, they feel by putting off the decision, they're safe. What are they safe from? Well, they're safe from the consequences of being wrong, or they're safe from the criticisms of other people. You know what? I don't even know how to convince people like this how wrong that is. Okay. They're not safe. The only thing you're safe from is success. You are guaranteeing you're not going to be successful. That I can assure you. F-A-I-L-U. Are resentful. Resentful and bitterness, very similar. Resentful. Now you are resentful, and that to me leads to you making excuses to find some person or something to explain why things are the way they are. Why haven't you done that? Well, why haven't you lived up to your possibilities? Well, it's because my brother didn't do what he was supposed to do. It's because the weather didn't. It's because I was born second. It's because of you. Yes, it was because of you. You were supposed to, and you didn't. So as a result, that's what resentment is. It's the excuse-making gene inside of the person.
Yeah. Resentfulness. Yeah. Okay.
F-I-A-L-U-R-E. Zach, does this make any sense to you?
Great.
Well, you know what? I like that word failure. It's been a long time since I've used this, and I don't think I've ever used it on the radio, but it makes it easy to remember, you know, failure, goal setting. I mean, goal setting is success. The rest is just conversation. How do we do it? And there's lots of ways to do it. In fact, as we get into it in a couple of weeks, what I'm going to do is simplify everything I've ever said to you before on the topic.
Not to interrupt, I just like, you know, the indecisive part of it. I always like that old saying. I think it was like Virgil. He said, fortune favors the bold. You know, just make a decision and go for it. Usually it'll go better for you.
Absolutely. We could give example after example about that one without question. Thank you. So, failure, F-A-I-L-U-R-E, failure. That's what happens when you stop setting goals. Goal setting goals is pressing on a success mechanism. As soon as you stop, failure results. A lady commented yesterday on my post, and she said, I don't set goals, I'm in denial. And you're absolutely right. I got to get started. E. Okay, let's see what we got here. F, frustration. A, aggression, misguided, inappropriate. I, insecurity. L, loneliness. U, uncertainty. R, resentment. With all of that, what can E stand for beside emptiness? What can it stand for beside that? I mean, I've seen people who have inherited money or been given money or but didn't set goals to achieve it. And it's like whatever they've gotten, they're left with this statement, is this all there is? Is this it? It's like empty. They've become successful, but the goal, they got money or the trappings of success, cars, things, houses, clothes, watches, jewelry. But you see, goals represent the things that are bouncing around in your head that are important to you. So whatever you achieve in life, unless it's important to you and represents something that's a passion of yours, even if you're successful with it, because if you set a goal, even if it's not a true goal, you're going to reach it. But by setting goals that represent your true desire and your passion in life, you'll still be left with the E. Emptiness. Have you ever seen people like that, Zach, who are successful, but they don't feel like successes? They don't feel like successes? They don't act like successes?
What is it, Uncle Scrooge?
He might be one. So, emptiness. Wow, why did I go through all that for this? I'm left with nothing. So like I said, any goal is a good goal as long as it's your goal. And you'll make my life better because it's your goal. And everyone who touches you is going to be positively impacted because you are fulfilling your goals. 28 minutes past the hour. Look like we've made a little mini topic here early rant. I don't mind that. It's my show. I can do whatever I want. Zach likes to remind me of that. My musical guest host today is Art Porter, the late Art Porter. And we're listening to some cuts from his last CD, Lay Your Hands on Me. A very talented, sensitive man whose music reflects his approach to life. My suggestion, go online, download some of his music. And you know what? I don't know if I told you, but I'm getting my first iPod. And you know, I've got hundreds, if not thousands, of CDs, and one of my clients is helping me transfer them all onto the iPod. And they said, well, when you get new music, you're going to spend lots of money putting them on. I said, I don't mind that at all, because you know what? I want these musicians to receive the joys of their labor. I want the Art Porters and the Brian Culbertsons of the world. I'm going to tell you something, gang, just so you know. When you buy a CD, you can make a copy for yourself, but don't make a copy for someone else. I'm serious. You're taking money out of their pocket, and they really need it. I mean, I know a lot of musicians. I don't know a lot of filthy rich ones, though. I really don't. And a lot of these people are amazingly talented. You know, George Benson is an amazingly talented musician, a great guitarist. Do you know what? I know a couple who if you listen to them play, couldn't tell the difference. George rides around in Rolls Royce. These other guys don't. So, you know, don't look for ways to rip off their music. I, for one, I take pleasure in buying their music. Whether I'm downloading it or as a music store, don't rip them off, okay? Really, don't do it. They provide joy for us. Listen to this music. I mean, the expertise and the professionalism, the passion that pours out of them as they perform. Wow. That's the one thing that we all, when we watch them, almost envy, their complete dedication they have to what they do. So inside of all of us, there's a little bit of wanting to be a musician. I know it certainly resides in me. All right, my name is Mac Newton. The Magic Man is on the other side of the glass. We got more Power Hour coming your way right after this. Don't you go away. Hi gang, I'm Mac Newton, and as much as you enjoy listening to the Power Hour and the feeling you get being shown the way, a way to get the most out of yourself, sometimes it boils down to just you and where you are. But no matter where you are, you're always going to have something that can go with you. www.macnewton.com. No matter where you are or where you may be, you'll be able to log on and work out with me, Mac Daddy. I mean, exactly the same workout that Aeneas Williams did, the same workout that Bo Jackson did, the same workout that Jay Novacek did, the same workout that Ricky Henderson did, the same workout that Dan O'Brien, the Olympian gold medalist, did. Yes, you, wherever you may be. www.macnewton.com, the home for champions, the home for winners, where you can read about success every day, no matter where you are, where you can work out and feel that you are on your path to accomplishing your goal. And let's say you don't want to be an Olympian, you're not interested in playing football. Well, what do you think a chief executive officer is but a top performing athlete? And you too need to be in the best shape of your life. There you have it. No matter who you are or where you are, www.macnewton.com is for you. Tune in today. I'm Mac Newton. Hey gang, welcome back. Welcome back. I'm Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour. Zach Geist behind the glass. Let's give a shout out to the fabulous Natasha. Yeah, it was busy and a little under the weather today, but you are with us in our minds, darling. Don't worry about that. We're listening to the great, the late Art Porter. We love his music, and I had a chance to see him in concert several times. A very talented, gentle man who just loves what he does, and everything about him demonstrates that as you watch him on stage, or as you watched him on stage. We still miss you, my brother, and thank you for leaving so much wonderful music for us to enjoy all the time. Before the break, I showed you, or I was talking to you about, you know, the failure mechanism, the success mechanism, and, you know, as I was explaining to Zach during the break, that when I first did this years ago, it allowed me to understand just a little bit and remember as I watched my behavior, if I saw myself feeling frustrated or getting mad at other people because my life wasn't working, that was that aggression, or feeling insecure and unsafe in my own skin, you know, all lonely. I mean, a feeling that total disconnect and unsure and indecisive and bitter and resentful and eventually and ultimately empty, even with the few things I did accomplish. That means I wasn't setting goals. And so I became to recognize that, and I could immediately think, let me press on the success mechanism. Let me set goals. Let me set goals. I challenge you, if you're listening to me out there, set a goal today. Set a goal about something today. Pick out something that you want to change in your life. Set a date to it, and then give yourself three things you can do to make it happen. That's the setting of a goal. Now, we're going to go through all the processes, and I'm going to simplify it all for you as much as I can starting in the next week or two. So just setting you up for something that we're going to do. If you want to send me an email, and I sure hope you do, send it to 7seven@macnewton.com. And by the way, to all my Facebook listeners, I now have officially opened, thanks to the help of the Magic Man, the official Mac Newton fan page. So now, even though I'm way past my friends limit, you can now become a fan of Mac Newton. And so I'll be writing on the fan page. And I'm not sure how that works, but I'll figure it out over the next few days. And Zach will be helping out with that. He's helped me out with that. By the way, Zach, what do you think of those new jazz chords I showed you here today? How would you like that?
I got some homework when I get home.
Do you? Got some homework? We have a rocker doing some jazz chords. Kind of cool, huh?
Got to get, you know, to the basics.
Yeah, yeah. Those jazz chords are smooth. And you know what? They're not as hard as a lot of people think they are. You know, it's just a whole a little different approach. That's all. I don't think really hard.
Going with my major sevens.
Oh, there you go.
Minor sevens.
All right, gang. Welcome back to the Power Hour. Oh, man, that was Art Porter that we've been listening to, our musical guest host today. Okay. All right. Let us get back to our final couple of segments now. I think we're just about ready to finish up with our last couple of segments on do you have a guilty personality. Now, I'm always excited about when I get to this point in finishing up this segment, because I love discussing this. Kind of like goal setting, it's something I've got to be constantly reminded of. The law of forgiveness. That is the fifth way to eliminate guilty feelings. That is the fifth way to eliminate the reactions. It's the, and maybe the most effective of all. It's perhaps the most powerful. It's perhaps the most practical principles ever been taught to help build happiness and health and wonderful relationships and prosperity as well. The law of forgiveness. It's maybe in it alone is the answer to eliminating all the feelings of guilt that have arisen since childhood and all the bitterness and negativity that's resulted. Forgiveness. What it states is this, the law of forgiveness. It says, you are mentally healthy to the degree, to the exact degree, to which you can freely forgive and forget offenses against you. The law of forgiveness says this, that you are mentally healthy to the exact degree to which you can freely forgive and forget offenses against you. The inability to forgive lies at the root of all the guilt and the resentment and most other negative emotions for that matter. Holding grudges and staying angry toward people who you feel have hurt you, is the main cause of psychosomatic illness. And last week we explained that in great detail. The inability to forgive causes diseases that run the gamut, from simple headaches to heart attacks and strokes. So, to fulfill your potential, to develop your full mental capacity, to liberate yourself emotionally, to develop and direct all your spiritual energies, you absolutely must forgive everyone who has ever hurt you in any way. And this is what you do then. You must let go of it and simply walk away. Walk away from what? Walk away from your anger. Walk away from your bitterness and your resentment. Walk away from your hatred. Walk away from the pain. You've got to stop paying, continually paying over and over for this same unfortunate happening. You've got to put your desire to live a great life, to develop a great character, and to become an outstanding individual. You've got to put those three things higher than any negative emotion that you might still be holding toward another person. I got to do that. I can't let one thing that I'm holding against another person keep me from attaining the real rewards and the joy of life. I can't do it. Okay, man, and because your outer world truly reflects your true inner world, and because you are going to attract to you the people and the situations that are harmonizing with the things you think about on a continuing basis, and because you become what you think about, your inability to forgive, or I should say, developing the ability to forgive, is that one indispensable quality you must develop. And how do you do it? You do it through practice. You do it through practice. If you sincerely want to be happy, healthy, and completely free of all the guilt that we've been talking about for the last 4 weeks, I'm going to tell you how right now. You don't have to wait for next week to this. I'm going to tell you how right now. I'm going to tell you how you can practice forgiveness. 45 minutes have passed the hour. This is the Power Hour. My name is Mac Newton. We do this show every Wednesday at 5. And then it goes up on our website. And you can listen to it just like it's live. Just like you're listening to it right now. I mean, you don't know. I mean, some of you are listening to it right now as we're doing it, and some of you are listening to it later in the week. What's the difference? No difference. If you know someone who needs to hear these words, if you know someone who needs to hear them, give them my website. It's like going into a mall. On one side of it, you can go into my gym and learn about physical fitness. Another door, you can walk into the radio studio. You can go into a library down the other hall. All these things, it's like, that's what my website is like. And I've designed it just that way.
And it's going to become even more efficient place for you to develop the person you want to be. Because in just a little while, my goal setting has resulted in a tremendous accomplishment that you guys are going to see on the website very soon. I've got my foot firmly pressed on the success mechanism. Okay, let's talk about that practice of forgiveness. And as I said to you, this is my barometer, folks. This is my barometer as how I'm doing in life. My ability to forgive. If I can forgive easy and often, early and often, it tells me I'm mentally healthy. To the degree that I'm willing to hold a grudge, that I'm willing to hold something against someone from the past, I'm not doing well mentally or spiritually. There are three people in your life who you need to forgive to free yourself from these negative feelings of guilt. There are three people. When you let go, you're going to experience a feeling of release, a feeling of joy. It's like your life is just going to open up in front of you like a panorama. The first people that you have to forgive are your parents. Yeah. I know. Here's a key point. Whether or not they're living, the fact that they may have passed away doesn't mean that you're still not holding grudges against them. Not at all. It just makes you feel more anguished about it because you feel there's nothing you can do about it anymore because they're passed away. But there is something you can do. You can forgive them. You must decide today to freely forgive them for every single thing that they ever did that hurt you. The key word there was freely. Don't feel coerced. I want you to buy into what I'm saying because, you see, I know what you're going to feel like and I know how your life's going to change. You're listening to the voice of a person who's been in some deep, dark, cold places in his life, places that I can't even tell you. I can tell you some, but I can't tell you all of them. And 99% of them has been at my own hand because of the guilt and the feelings of inadequacy and undeservingness that I had. And it's the forgiveness that has allowed me to open up and experience the life that was put in me from birth. You got to freely forgive them for every single thing that they ever did that hurt you. You must forgive them for every injustice. You must forgive them for every act of unkindness, every cruel thing that they did to you. You have to rise above all the pain of your childhood. You have to rise above the hurt and let it go. Let all of them go. You have to do what I've done. You have to accept this reality. Now, this is how I dealt with all of these things that my father did or didn't do for me. And this is how I did it. You have to accept that your parents did the very best they could with what they had. Now, there may be some that doesn't fall in that category, but that's the way I choose to look at it. My father was 19 years old with a 14-year-old wife. And she died when he deserted her. And I spent my entire life hating my father with a passion that burned bright. Just ate me up. I've been able to free myself from all that. You know, I haven't walked a moment in my father's shoes. I would like to think that I would not dispose of. I would not dispose of my firstborn son. But again, like I said, I didn't walk in his shoes. I think he did the best he could with what he had. Where he was at that time. You're going to have to do the same. You're going to have to do the same. Rise above it. I mean, almost everyone is still upset and angry over something that one or both of their parents did when they were growing up. So many men and women that I've known, especially ones that are in their 40s and 50s now, are still in a state of emotional crisis, emotional distress, because they've just not forgiven them yet. It's like they've built up a lifetime of bitterness and resentment. And you know what? That's a terrible price to pay. It's a terrible price for something about what nothing could have been done anyway. In many cases, your parents are not even aware of what it is they did that you're still upset about. Usually they have no memory of it at all. I mean, if you were to tell them why you're still angry, they will often be dumbfounded, astonished, sometimes even confused, because they have no recollection of what you're talking about ever even taking place. It's you that's harboring it. And your mind has made it into something that it may not be. Your mind has made it into something else, because it's happened that way for me. When as I've learned to forgive, sometimes it's like, you know what I was thinking they did to me, they really didn't do. Not that way, not the way I'm seeing it. There are three ways you can forgive your parents. The first is the most important, and that is to just forgive them in your heart. Just forgive them in your heart. I mean, and you do that, but every time you think of the things that hurt you, just use the law of substitution and replace that thought by saying, I forgive them. I forgive them for everything. I forgive them. I forgive them for everything. And then after that, every time you recall that painful experience, you're going to quickly cancel it out by saying, I refuse them. I forgive them. I forgive them for everything. If you continue forgiving them every time, before very long, you'll be able to think back on that experience kind of the same way I do, unemotionally, with no negativity attached to it whatsoever. It wasn't that long ago. If I would have time to talk about these kinds of things, I'd just crumble into an emotional ball of protoplasm. I wouldn't be able, I was so emotional about it, but I was just totally whacked. But now I can think back on it completely unemotionally. And up until I forgave, it's like the older I got, the worse it got. Worse it became. I have no negativity attached to it whatsoever. I'm free, and so will you be. The second way to forgive your parents is to simply let go. Let go of it, and once you've done, and you can go see them personally, or telephone them, call them on the phone. And many people who've taken this information from me in seminars, and they go and sit down with their parents and discuss what they did and why they're still angry, and then they say, I just want you to know that I forgive you. That for every hurtful thing you did to me when I was growing up, and then I love you. by forgiving them, not only do you set yourself free, but you set them free too. I have seen people at my seminars, when I talk about this to them, you can just see the anguish in them, and you can see them battling with this and struggling as to what to do. And when they, and as I continue talking, as they eventually grasp it and they move on. Oh, it makes me feel great when I see them, or sometimes they'll walk up to me and they'll just want to hug me, just touch me and say thank you. Makes me feel great. Makes me feel great. Makes me feel great. Okay. Whatever the situation, you can forgive them for it. The third way to forgive your parents is to simply write them a letter. And you write it into as much detail as you can. And in the letter, you just forgive them for every mistake they ever made. Many parents, especially parents who've got low self-esteem, parents that don't like them very much, hope that someday their children will forgive them for the mistakes they made. They hope that their children will forgive them for the mistakes they made in bringing them up, which they're just not strong enough to admit to. And it's only when you forgive your parents completely that you become a fully functioning adult. Until then, you're still childlike inside. Books have been written on that subject. They go way too far. I mean, all you need to do is forgive. We're not interested in getting in touch with the inner child. I want to live in the outer world as an adult. But what keeps us childlike inside is our unwillingness to forgive. Until then, you're still a kid. You're still dependent upon them emotionally. You're looking for something. It's only when you've let go of all these unhappy experiences of growing up that you can have this a mature relationship, an experience with your mother and father if they're still alive. For most people, the very best years sometimes of their lives, with their parents at least, begin on the day that they forgive them. And they put all those experiences behind them both, and they move on. All right. The second person that you have to forgive is everybody else. Like it says biblically, everyone who's ever trespassed against you, you have to unconditionally forgive every single person in your life who has ever hurt you in any way. You have to forgive every brainless, cruel, senseless, mean, wicked thing that everyone has ever said or done to you, without exception too, I might add. The refusal to forgive just one person can be in itself enough to continue to undermine and continue to destroy future happiness, so don't leave anyone out. But let me just add this little caveat. You don't have to like this person. You don't have to have anything to do with them. You don't have to accept them in any way, shape, or form. And that goes for your parents as well. You don't have to like them. You don't have to accept them. You don't have to be friends with them. It's not about them. It's about you. You just have to forgive them. Forgiveness is purely selfish, gang. It has nothing to do with the other person at all. It only has to do with your own peace of mind, your own happiness, your own success, your own future. Perhaps the dumbest thing in the world is for you to still be angry or resentful toward a person who doesn't care about you at all. And you're ripping yourself apart because of it. As someone said once, I don't know who did, but I still remember it. I never hold grudges. Because while you're holding a grudge, the person you're holding a grudge with is out dancing. Whatever the situation, let's face it, you probably got yourself into it anyway. Whether it's a business deal, an investment, a job, or a relationship, you made the choice and the decisions that made it possible in the first place. It probably couldn't have happened without your active involvement. Anyway. You could have withheld it, but you didn't. No one had a gun to your head. You are responsible. You were responsible. You were free to choose. And unfortunately, You chose inappropriately. Now, let it go. Let it go and walk away. Even if you had nothing whatsoever to do with it, let's say that's the case, okay? Even if you had absolutely nothing to do with it, even if you were a completely innocent third party, you are still responsible for how you respond to it. You are in charge of yourself and your emotions. You are free to decide what you do from this moment on. And the best policy of all is to forgive, okay? Is to forgive. I told you I'd tell you how. All right? Now, you may want to listen to this a couple of times. You do. You may want to listen just a couple of times to this. Okay? Now, next week, we're going to be moving on to our first topic. But there's one further thing. And I'm leaving it out because I don't want to muddy the water too much. I just want you to dwell on this for a week. But there's one more thing. And I have talked about this on radio before. I'm going to teach you how to write the letter. That's what I'm going to teach you to do next week. Yep. I'm writing it right now. I'm writing it right now. Okay. And then we're going to take off in an entirely new direction. You know, gang, I tell you what. I told you I was pumped about today's show. Even though I had no idea. I had no idea what we were going to talk about today. I knew we were going to talk about the weather. I knew we were going to have some shout-outs. But beyond that, I had no clue. I sure hope you've enjoyed listening to Art Porter as much as I have. In fact, I've got a class starting in about a half an hour. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to listen to his music while we stretch today in that class. Because let's face it, sounds good, doesn't it? Yeah. Puts his heart into every single note. Hey, gang, as we do all the time, I want to say as we close, I want you to be good to yourselves. Be good to yourselves and be good to others, especially those around you. My great-grandma used to always say, save your best behavior for those you love. It seems like some people save their best behavior for strangers. Why? You don't even know them. Save the best behavior for those you love. They deserve it. And those that love you, you know? I have a friend right now who's experiencing that exact thing. Someone close to them is saving their best behavior for other people. It's very sad, very painful. Be true to yourselves, which means make your words and behaviors match. It's not as easy as it sounds, but the more you practice, the easier it gets. Make forgiveness your byword. And remember, as Veronica G in the Philippines likes to say, tomorrow's a new day, or today is a new day, and we get a brand new chance to do it all over again. As always, I want to say thanks to some of the people who helped make the path of my life a little bit smoother. Bob Adlock, have no idea why you believed in me, man. Pat McMahon, my mentor for life, and so good to see you on TV a week ago and be on TV with you. JC, my co-host for all time up in San Francisco. Hope the weather's good. My main man, my friend, JB, the fabulous Natasha. We'll see her back in the house next week. And, of course, the magic man, Zach, who makes it all happen. These are the people making it happen for me, gang. Who's in your front row? My name is Mac Newton. Sometimes they call me the Mac Daddy. That's okay, too. We'll see you next week. 3, 2, 1. Peace. I am out.